Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Before we conclude our examination of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and move on into chapter 6, there's one more matter that needs to be discussed. The main issue in 1 Corinthians 5 is the matter of church discipline, and that we've already examined very carefully. Secondly, there are some very clear indications and implications relating to the subject of church government, how churches make decisions, who makes the decisions, who has the authority, how are churches governed in the New Testament. And we've talked about that over the last three or four broadcasts, and I hope that has been helpful. But there's still one other area that needs to be considered, because it is also very, very perspicuous, that means clear or plain, from this chapter. And it is the second of these two significant issues requiring separate treatment beyond the main theme of the chapter, which is church discipline. The first significant issue of church government, we've already covered that. The second significant issue is church membership. Church membership. Now, this is a subject that I find an awful lot of people are very, very unsure about. And some even very strongly opposed to the whole idea. That's not biblical. Well, hear me out. Because it is biblical, and we need to understand what the Bible teaches about church membership, which is very much a biblical requirement for those who call themselves Christians. And so the issue of church government is widely and historically debated. There are many differences, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, congregational government, and so forth. But in the area of church membership, historically, it has been widely accepted. It's only been modern times that there's been this resistance to it. For the most part, as far as I can tell, Christians down through the centuries have had no trouble finding church membership in the Bible, even though they may have trouble finding clear instructions regarding church government in the Bible. But now, in modern days, we find people who can't seem to locate church membership in the Bible. And consequently, what we have in modern days is a growing nominalism among Christians who treat the church, and I'm talking about the local church, the institutional church, the visible church, they treat the church as if it is entirely optional, certainly not necessary, and maybe even detrimental to the Christian faith, to Christian health. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, clearly, if you have an unhealthy church, then of course it is detrimental. But because the church is unhealthy doesn't mean the concept of the church is wrong or unbiblical, any more than you can have churches that are poorly governed in any one of the three major forms, but let's take the congregational form of government, which I think is the one most clearly indicated in Scripture. Well, you can have churches that follow the congregational form of church government and are very badly governed. They do it very poorly, and that ought to be corrected, but the fact that that exists doesn't negate the validity of congregational church government. It just means that somebody has taken that concept and has abused it, has twisted it, has misused it, and likewise with church membership. Yes, it's possible to misuse the biblical doctrine of church membership, just like it's possible to misuse virtually any doctrine in the Bible, but that doesn't erase what the Bible teaches. And that's what I hope to show you over the next few broadcasts, and so I pause to welcome you to this Wednesday, August 11 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for the financial support that keeps us teaching on this station. And once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 brings this question of church membership to the forefront. You can't really escape it if you look at it carefully. There are scattered references, scattered implications, but when you put them all together in one package, it becomes pretty clear, it becomes pretty compelling that the Bible teaches church membership and that the first century Christians practiced church membership. Now let me start by talking about this term membership. I've even had people challenge that. Why, you don't even find the term church member in the Bible. Well, that in itself, of course, doesn't prove anything. You don't find the term Trinity in the Bible, but does that cancel the doctrine of the Trinity? Does it make it untrue? Does it make it invalid? Absolutely not. However, the term member actually is found in the Bible, though we generally skip over it because we don't understand what it's saying. But let me read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What do we read? For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Members of the body. Well, you say, that's referring to the invisible body. Certainly that's included, but it's not, but visible church membership is not excluded. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, and so forth. But God has set the members, there's that word again, each one of them in the body, just as it pleased him. Now, what kind of members is it talking about here? Well, it's talking, of course, about individual Christians, living, breathing, born-again Christians. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, and so forth and so on. So we go on. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Now what you have in this passage is many references to members of the body. In fact, there are 10 verses that use the word member. Verse 14, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 25, 26, and 27. 10 times it uses the term member in the plural, 4 times in the singular. In other words, 10 times it talks about church members, plural. 4 times it talks about an individual member, singular. Member. We talk about church members. Paul talks about members of the body. Is the body exclusively the invisible body of Christ, or does it include the local body, the visible body of Christ? Because the concept is clear. One body, many members, verse 14. Together, all Christians constitute the body of Christ, verse 27. Individually, each Christian is a member of the body, verse 27. This is true of the church universal, but it is equally true of each local church. Back to verses 25 and 26 of 1 Corinthians 12. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That, though it, you can't remove completely the concept of the invisible church from those two verses, it's clear that's talking primarily about your relationship to the local body. Your relationship to other living, breathing members of the same body, and how you are to be careful how you relate to one another, that there be no divisions. That was one of the problems that Paul dealt with in the Corinthian church, divisions in the church at Corinth. We don't find him dealing with other churches. He wrote epistles to the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, and so forth. Doesn't deal with that problem, because evidently they didn't have that problem. But Corinth did. There were divisions in that church because not all of the members of the church, there's that word again, were relating to each other like they should, in a Christ-like way. Interrelated, understanding their place in the body of Christ, understanding that not everybody has the same role, not everybody has the same function, not everyone has the same place, but all of these separate members are all joined together to one another in the body of Christ, and therefore the individual members, one by one, this member, that member, the other member, come together and collectively make up the body of Christ. And be careful how you do this, that there be no divisions in the church, no schisms. Oh, be careful, little lips, what you say, for your Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little lips, what you say, that there be no divisions in the body by the weakness, immaturity, and poor behavior of certain members of that local body. Members, that's church membership. That's the terminology. So the only conclusion I can come to is that the New Testament does speak of churches having members. It's clear in that passage I just read. Well, what about the concept of joining a church? Actually going through some kind of process by which you apply for church membership and are either received, as you would be in most cases, or rejected, as might happen in some cases. Very few, I would think, in most churches, but nevertheless, there is a process by which a person who desires to become a member of the local church goes through the process, the formal process of joining a church. That's an anathema to some people. There should be no such thing. When we are saved, we are automatically members of the body of Christ. There shouldn't be any such thing as having to join a local church. It's automatic. Well, is it? And I will have to come back tomorrow to show you a passage where we are clearly told that it's not automatic. And again, you have to understand what we're talking about. When we're talking about the invisible church, it is automatic. Anyone who is truly born again automatically becomes a member of that church, no question about it. But when it comes to the visible church, it's a little bit different matter. Why? Because we can't see the heart. And because we have responsibilities to one another who are members of the church, and therefore we need to have certain understandings and agreements about what it means to be a member, what are the responsibilities of members, and so forth. And we'll look at that, Lord willing, on the broadcast tomorrow. I hope you can join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.